on the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you join us. Greg Bach with me in studio, Calvin on the board, and a second guest in studio with us for the second hour, Rami Makhlouf. We have had you on before talking a little sports.
But now I'm here.
Now you're here.
Good morning. How are we?
It's great to have you out here.
It's good to be here.
He's right here.
I'm right here. I'm in the studio.
He is in the studio. You can see him if you're watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. So you're a sportscaster. You're also a comedian.
Yes. But that's what I do. Well, right now I'm just a comedian. Nobody has hired me to sportscast.
So you are unemployed. Right?
Yes, I'm unemployed, technically.
Do you perform out a lot, Rami?
I moved back to Milwaukee in August, and honestly, I hadn't done a lot of stand-up for a while, so I was rusty when I first came back, but I think I found my groove, and business is picking up again.
Cool. Where did you move from?
I was in Sacramento for a little over a year.
That's the switch.
It was, yeah. And I've lived in Milwaukee for most of the last, 17, 18 years, but short stint in Minneapolis and then a short stint in Sacramento, and I keep coming back. They keep pulling me back in.
Milwaukee's a great town.
We're the Godfather Part 3. They pulled me back in.
No, I love it, which is why I came back. Sacramento, and it's nothing against a city. It's one of those cities that I think Milwaukee has a little bit of this too in a different way, but people outside maybe give it a bad rap, and once you get in there, you're like, oh, this is not what people say about it. So it wasn't really the city. I just missed home. I missed all the people and things that I loved around here, you know.
The people who give it the biggest bad rap are like anyone I know from Sacramento. They're like, I had to get out. I just couldn't do it, because you're basically in the middle of the state, essentially, correct?
Yeah.
And you're how many hours from LA? How many hours from San Francisco?
It's a couple hours from San Francisco, at least a couple hours, because you're always going to hit traffic.
Yeah.
People in California do not know how to drive, and you can hit traffic anytime, anywhere. So it's at least a couple hours to San Francisco, and then 6-7 hours to LA, and tack on a couple hours to that to get to San Diego.
That's the bonkers thing. I saw a video of people from England talking about like long drives and like, they live 2 hours away. I'm like, and the guy from England made a comment. He's like, you can drive for 11 hours in Texas and still be in Texas.
Yeah. When I lived in Sacramento, I had a buddy who lives in Chicago, and he was like, man, you're lucky. You can go to so many places and see so many things without ever leaving the state. And I was like, who cares about these imaginary lines you're talking about? You drive 6 hours from Chicago, you could be at a beautiful destination in Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, you know, and somewhere in southern Illinois. Like, who cares what state I'm in and what imaginary lines I cross to get to my destination? It's still 6 to 8 hours. You know what I mean? It's just a huge state.
It is a huge state. And my husband worked out there for a couple of years, and I had gone out to visit him, and we were in Sacramento, I believe. What amazed me was so many of these roadways are not designed for all this traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking one way each way, going through miles and miles and miles of farm fields, and so much traffic. It was nutso.
Yeah.
When my wife and I we did our honeymoon in California, we started in LA, and we drove up to San Francisco with a stop in the middle. And we decided we had a drop top Ford Mustang. So we're what will make this more California? Let's take the PCH all the way up. And quickly I realized, you know what? An hour or two, that's great. Then get on the regular freeway where it's faster, more like less traffic. Because there were times when I'm like, if I like sneeze, we will die. We will fall off a cliff and just be part of the ocean at that point.
I cannot drive in the mountains.
I just
cannot drive. I get so tense and nervous. I can't handle it.
And it gets so hot up there. Like, I remember I was driving through once in Arizona up in the mountains, and my phone just shut off because
It overheats.
It overheats.
If you have it in the windshield on the little oh, dock there, yeah, it'll overheat.
It was on the seat, and it was
on
like,
the
oh wow,
yeah, because you get up higher and higher, and it was like 114 degrees in the mountains. I'm just like, I got to get out of this state. I got to get out of this area. I'll burn to death.
It's a beautiful place to visit. Just not a great place. And the cost of living out there. I heard you guys talking about the economy in general when I was sitting out before I came in. It's like a different
It's a different
country's
world.
Economy.
Yeah.
In California, the U.S. dollar is not worth in California what it is the rest of America. It's insane. It's out of control.
What's the U.S. dollar? How is it doing in California right now? Not good.
Not good.
Not good.
Not very good.
They won't even get fire insurance.
And the assumption is always that salaries out there are so much better that's going to make up for this, and that's not necessarily the case.
Not always, no.
Not everybody's making $2 million a year.
And I remember you telling me that. Like, we talked about it. I was very, because I was curious in radio how much you'd be making. You told me, and even though it was a pay bump from here, I was like, yeah, it's still California.
Yeah.
And even in places like Sacramento, Fresno, all these places that aren't LA or San Francisco adjacent, they're still two-bedroom houses are going for $1 million.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
During the pandemic, a lot of people in the Bay Area and Oakland, San Francisco, they moved to Sacramento because they could work remotely, and it's cheaper to live here. And then suddenly it wasn't cheaper to live there anymore.
No.
Because everybody was moving to that city. So yeah, it just didn't add up for me. It was mostly on a personal level, though. It just wasn't for me. And I'm glad to be back.
Rami missed me. It was the thing.
I did. It was Greg.
Text me every day, Greg, I miss you.
Every day I was like, I can't live without you. Yeah. I need to come back.
And now you're reunited.
Here we are.
And it feels so good.
All right. We're going to move on. I know you're a sports guy, and I'm not sure if you heard about this story, but Green Bay Packers player Jonathan Owens is married to Simone Biles.
I've heard.
Who?
Simone Biles, one of the most, I believe she is the most decorated gymnast
absolutely
in history.
That was a joke, people. I know who she is.
So her husband, Mr. Biles, was on the podcast called The Pivot, and he essentially said that he had no idea who she was when they started dating, but he believes he's the catch in their marriage. He's the catch in their marriage.
I read the quote. I didn't hear it. Was he kidding? Because context matters. You know what I mean?
It
or
does.
Was he being like lighthearted and jovial about it? You know what I mean? Context. He's catching a lot of heat for this. And I haven't seen or heard the quote yet, but context matters when you're saying something. When you're making a joke about your marriage or your spouse, we all do it. You know what I mean? We all do it.
And you know, professional athletes, every single one of them are just pure comic timing comedians. None better. I mean, put your mics down, Bill Burr, and put your mics down, all the other comedians. These NBA, they're so funny.
NFL guys are hilarious.
Yeah.
But also, shouldn't he think he's a catch? Shouldn't we all think we're a catch? You know, the old, you can't love somebody else until you love yourself. Shouldn't we all believe that we're a catch?
He didn't say a catch. He said the catch.
The catch. That's true. That changes it.
And my discussion with Jane was, when you were, he's a young guy at a very high level of athleticism. So his mind has probably been in a helmet since he was peewee football. Very
insulated
from the regular world. There is a chance that he didn't know who Simone Biles was. He might know who that hot gymnast is, but no idea who Simone Biles was. I'm not saying he's the catch. And at the end of the day, I still know who Simone Biles is. I have no clue what this dude's. I forgot his name already.
It's Jonathan. It's Jonathan Biles. No, it's Jonathan Owens.
I mean, that's the thing. Go ahead and think you're the catch because you're the NFL. That's how we are in America. NFL. It's football. But
don't we often hear the story of the male celebrity's significant other or spouse, and they'll say, "Oh, I didn't even know who he was when we met. I thought he was cute, or I thought he was funny, or he was charming, or whatever the case might be." And we always go, "Aw,
isn't that sweet?
She's not in it for his fame or his celebrity or his money. She's in this relationship for him." That's essentially what he did. But when you flip the genders, all of a sudden,
it's an insult.
He should know who Simone Biles. How dare he not know who Simone Biles is? You know what I mean? And I'll be honest with you. And Greg and I have had discussions about this in the past. I don't like the Olympics. I can't stand the Olympics. I know a lot of people are going to be upset, but I just personally can't stand the Olympics. Now, I've worked in sports for almost 20 years, and when you work in sports, even sports you can't stand or don't care about, you will know things about it.
Sure.
You know, so I knew who Simone Biles was, but if that wasn't my profession, I might not. Well, you know what I mean?
And he even said that he hadn't been following the Olympics in 2016. He never really paid attention to gymnastics.
Yeah.
So that's all valid. And they met on a matching site called Raya.
That must be for rich people.
That's a celebrity dating app. Yes.
Okay. But asked if he believes he's the catch between himself and Simone Biles, Owen said, "I always say that men are the catch and that he was the one who was initially afraid to commit to her. I'm like, it's kind of early."
That doesn't...
But you know, it happens when you least expect it. When we hung out, we just hit it off instantly and laughed the whole night.
I mean, and see, that to me sounds like he's... There might be a tongue firmly planted in cheek there. But it's still a fun conversation because usually if you are... Like, for me, I'm always going to say that my wife is the catch just because I believe in every way she is. You always say that your significant other is the catch.
Sure.
And when you say, and so when he says, "I'm the catch," it's like, but then he said he was nervous. Like, it just doesn't make, it, nothing makes sense of what he's saying. He just sounds like a dumb football player.
Who's married to a very, very talented
Who's
woman.
Married to such a sweet person. I love how much she just took us on. She's like, "I am Green Bay now.
Yeah,
I am your state.
She is all in."
I mean, I love her excitement and her enthusiasm. Yeah. I mean,
man. And she's not sitting in like a heated luxury suite. She's always like on the sideline, coat and gloves and earmuffs, the whole thing. Yeah, she's in it.
I've sat in heated luxury seats at a Packer game. It's real nice.
I bet it is.
Don't
sweet. Nice.
Don't pass it up.
All right.
It's pretty cool.
When we return, we are going to talk more Packers and what are their chances of making it into the playoffs. It will be interesting to see. And there's going to be a little Taylor Swift angle in there, too.
Oh.
It's all her fault, you know. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stay here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along. Welcome, welcome. If you're listening to the show in Madison on WMDX or in Green Bay on WGBW, you can always join us, call or text at 844-967-2789. Greg Bach with me in studio along with Rami Makhlouf, correct?
Makhlouf. Close enough, though.
I'll write it down. And Calvin is on the board. So thank you again for joining us today. So the Packers won barely.
Mm-hmm. You'll take those, though.
I know. A win is a win. It was 33-30, right?
I don't have to eat herring.
Oh, is that the bet?
The bet was if the Packers won by two touchdowns, as Carol predicted, I would eat herring, which...
Oh, they did not win by two touchdowns.
No,
they did not.
It was 33-30, right?
Yeah, that was the final score. Yeah.
So... how are we feeling about the future? Because we've got the Vikings.
I never, just to go back to the win for a second, people get hung up on that. Like, oh, you barely won, or this team didn't have a great record when you beat them, or whatever the case might be. Wins are hard to get in the NFL, even against bad teams. Like the gap between bad teams and good teams isn't as wide as a lot of people think it is. That's why in the NFL you can go from being worst to first in a matter of 1 or 2 years. It's there isn't this huge gap between the great teams. So a win is a win, and at the end of the year, whatever your record says you are is what you are. And as far as the future goes, I forget, I was trying to pull it up during the break, but short break, their chances of making the playoffs are actually pretty decent. If they win this week, and this is what I was trying to find, they need 2 or 3 other games to go their way this week, and then all they have to do is beat the Bears in week 18, and they're in. So they need a little bit of help, but their chances are pretty good. And we talked about this when I was on with you guys earlier in the season. I think already this season is a success for the Green Bay Packers. They have the youngest roster in the NFL. They pivot from Aaron Rodgers to a young quarterback who, you look at his numbers, and he's doing some of the same things as, you know, some guys that are in the MVP conversation this year. You're in a rebuilding phase and playing meaningful football games in December and January. That's a win for me. That's a positive season for the Green Bay Packers in my eyes. And if they get to the playoffs, that's a great season for the Packers.
For a first time.
Absolutely.
For Jordan Love's first season, you're right. That would be quite an accomplishment.
And just like any other team, you know, whether it's any team, really, people are calling for the head of Joe Barry. Do you think it's wise to stick with him for one more season to get with this team? Or do you say, no, I think it's time to get fresh blood in here and cut tight? Because it feels like everyone knows, even he knows the writing's on the wall. I mean, when I listened to him interviewed about what's going on, he's realistically optimistic. It's mm-hmm. like, so do you think it's worth staying another year to the dismay of fans, or you say cut ties?
I think it makes sense to stick with him for the rest of this year because coaching changes
you don't want to
hardly
do
ever
now.
Make a big difference in the middle of the season. Although the Bears, they fired their defensive coordinator in the middle of the season, not because he was bad at his job. There was something going on behind the scenes. We still haven't gotten the full story there. And their defense has actually gotten a lot better. Their head coach now is calling their defense for them. And it's so maybe a change would improve them this season, but especially this late in the game, that's a hard move to make. But yeah, once the season is over, while I'm sitting here saying this season has been a success and it is a very young roster, they've put a lot of assets in terms of money and draft picks into the defensive side of the football, and the turnout that they're getting from all that investment on that side of the football is not what it should be to this point. So you are always looking to improve and get better, and I think that they have the talent, they have the players on the defensive side of the football. You got to look at the coach and why things aren't working out on that side of the ball to the degree that they should be. And I think a change at defensive coordinator would make sense this offseason.
844-967-2789. Steven from Green Bay is on the line with a comment about the Pack. What do you think, Steven?
So to answer your question about Green Bay's playoffs, Green Bay would need to win out in either the Seahawks or the Los Angeles Rams would have to lose one of their next two games. They don't need to lose both of them. They just need to lose one of the next two games.
So there you go.
And then the Packers would be in.
Yeah, they just need one other game to go their way, and their fate is in their hands. And they have two very winnable games left on the schedule with Minnesota and Chicago. So,
Steven, how are you feeling about things? Because you live there. You live in Green Bay.
I do live in Green Bay. How do I feel about things? Here's my honest opinion on it. We have the youngest offense in the National Football League this year. So I don't think myself or a lot of people in this area were expecting us to make the playoffs. I think we were a lot of stuff that I heard was, we'll just be happy if we have a winning record at the end of the season. The fact that we're even talking about the Packers in the playoffs, I think that just shows the maturity that Jordan Love has, gained throughout the year. If you look, you know, week one versus now, you can definitely tell the difference. I will say this, though. I think there are some games, especially, you know, this last one, where the defense kind of, you know, forgot that they were, you know, on a football field playing the game.
Supposed to stop them.
And I think that has a lot to do with coaching, as was said earlier by your guest. we've spent a lot of money and capital on the defense, and I don't think we're getting the return on investment that we should be on that side of the ball. So I definitely do agree with the fact that we probably do need to make a switch on defensive coordinator. I do think Matt LaFleur is doing a little cover-up because they're buddy-buddy. And, you know, you don't want to out your friend on, you know, in front of everybody. But at this point, I think I'm pretty satisfied with where the Packers are at.
Sounds good, Stephen. Thank you so very much for calling. And always thank you for listening, talking about the Green Bay Packers and their chance to get into the playoffs. If you want to go to one of the games, the prices are down a little bit. The average get-in price for the Vikings game was $259 compared on Tuesday compared to $288. And then the average get-in price for the Bears game is $130, down from $140.
And those both are at Lambeau? Is that right? I haven't looked at the schedule
We will check when we go to the news, and we'll keep this conversation going. Also, Taylor Swift, it's all her fault, everything is pretty much Taylor Swift's fault. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams.
I'm sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why? Oh, 'cause she's dead.
Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Joined in studio by Greg Bach and Rami Makhlouf, and Calvin is on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
A couple of texts I wanted to get to before we continue our Packers discussion. Calvin, some shout-outs to you from the 541. Loving your bumper music choices today.
This guy.
We always love to hear that. And then we were talking about the Packers and whether or not they're going to make it into the playoffs. 262, why did they trade their best defensive back, Douglas? They could use him right now.
Yeah, that was a trade made at the trade deadline this year that had a lot of people scratching their heads. But I think they like some of the young talent that they have back there in the secondary, and they wanted to make some room on the depth chart for them to get a little more playing time. But it's definitely a move you could question.
And Greg from Waukesha says, fire Joe Barry.
Yeah, I think most people are there.
I think so, too. I think so, too, without
I feel like Joe Barry is there, too. Like, it's not going to be an in-the-office conversation. Yeah. It'll be, let's grab a beer. And
yeah, that's one of those where you get called to the boss's office, and he tells you, and you're like, yeah.
But we did.
yeah, I saw this coming.
But as we've learned, I mean, I don't know much about this guy. He's kind of failed his way to the top.
Sure sounds like that.
He's the son of a coach. He's got in through him. He's not that successful, and he's buddies with Matt LaFleur, and it's like I want to know what lessons this teaches Matt LaFleur as far as coaching goes, because Matt LaFleur strikes me as a pretty serious dude. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him smile.
He's not very smiling.
He's not a smiley Matt LaFleur. But it just makes me wonder, like, what will be the next search? What will that entail? Will it be, you know?
I mean, you do these. It's like any other industry. And somebody said before that Joe Barry is his good friend, which is true. You go back to the guys who you've worked with before, and people who you know. And So I don't know them off the top of my head, but you can probably go back through Matt LaFleur's career and see some of the defensive position coaches or defensive coordinators who are currently out of a job right now or serving as position coaches somewhere. And it'll probably be somebody off that list. You said he was the son of a coach, Greg.
I believe so.
He's the son-in-law of a coach. And it's Rod Marinelli, who is he's one of the great defensive coordinators in the game for like the last 20 years. He was the head coach of the Lions for a hot minute.
Yeah.
And they were terrible. And the defense was terrible at the time. And I came across a clip today of, I can't remember the reporter's name, a reporter from Detroit just grilling Rod Marinelli. And the last question he asked him was, do you wish your daughter married a better coach?
Oh! Ouch.
That is a Detroit question.
Ouch. And the Lions won the division.
Yes. Yeah. This was years ago. This was probably 10 years ago that he was just getting grilled about why is Joe Barry still your defensive coordinator? And then finally the guy asked him, do you wish your daughter married a better coach?
Wish your daughter married Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, going back to the Lions, I'm just happy for the Lions fans.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They've had a drought longer than just about anybody, yeah. Right?
And their players, everybody involved. I was watching SportsCenter or something over the weekend after they clinched the playoff spot, and they were interviewing one of the Lions players, their longest tenured player. I don't remember who it was right now. And he was on the verge of tears, and my girlfriend was like, is this man about to cry over football? And I was like, yeah, he's been in Detroit his whole career.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's suffered a lot. He earned this. Don't besmirch this man because he's about to cry over football.
Don't tell men to show our feelings. And when we show our feelings, present caveats. I want you to show your feelings, but not about that.
That's a really good point, Greg. Yeah. Buck. That is a fair point. Absolutely. So, well done, Lions. I'm happy for them. We'll see what happens this Sunday when the Packers go to Minnesota to play.
Yes.
And then the Bears will be back at Lambeau.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So good luck for that. I want to switch things over. The Kansas City Chiefs were defeated by the Raiders. And, of course, it's all Taylor Swift's fault.
Of course.
Yes. According to the fans. There's a great article in USA Today from Mike Freeman that starts off with, it's not Taylor Swift's fault that Kansas City's offensive lineman can't block.
Yeah.
It's not her fault that Patrick Mahomes is constantly running for his life. It's not her fault Mahomes is increasingly desperate and reckless. She has no control over the fact that he's throwing into double and triple coverage. Her concerts create entire economies, but she does not control Patrick Mahomes' brain. So, come on, people.
But you know what, though? Honestly, when you think about it, you had to write an article that was that, like, almost like you're sitting everyone down, you're taking their hand, you're petting, you're like,
listen,
look, listen.
Here's how
it is. You know.
Like explaining to a small child,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. If you need, we have, they're right behind you, there's some orange slices, it's fine. You're just upset, and that's fine.
It's okay to be upset.
Yeah, I mean, that just, I don't know, whatever. It's like, I just want to know what kind of song she's going to write. Not so much about Travis Kelce, whether they break up or stay together forever, but there will be a song about her life in the NFL spotlight.
Probably.
Because eventually, whether they break up or stay together for 40 years, she won't be at every game. She's got stuff to do, and he'll get traded and he'll go to a different city, right, and whatever. But I want to know what kind of song, or dare I say concept album.
I don't watch the Chiefs every week, you know what I mean? But when I do watch the Chiefs, I don't care that they keep panning over to Taylor Swift. And I think it was in that article by Mike Freeman where he says, look, she's not asking to be on TV. She's there supporting her boyfriend. If there's anybody to be mad at, which you're just an angry person, if it bothers you that much that Taylor Swift is on your TV for a split second in between football players.
Yeah.
But if you're mad at anyone, be mad at Fox, be mad at CBS, ESPN, these networks that are airing the games that they keep showing her. She's just there like any other family member or girlfriend or spouse or significant other. She's just there watching the game, and these networks know, like, that, you know, Taylor Swift fans are going to tune in if we put Taylor on the TV every 40 seconds or whatever the case might
be. And you're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, because she has brought a lot more young women to NFL football.
Absolutely.
Just to catch a glimpse of her.
For sure.
I'm wondering who the genius nerd at NFL or the NFL, no, someone on the internet, probably the dark web, who will compile all of the total minutes devoted to Taylor Swift.
That's being tabulated right now.
Over the course of the entire 2023 season, she was on camera for 4.2 minutes.
Somebody will put together a reel.
of all the Taylor
cameos at Chiefs games.
There's just so much good stuff in this article. We will put this in the show notes as well. It is not Taylor Swift's fault that former offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy is coaching in Washington. It's not her fault that people are seeing how valuable he was. You can see it for yourself. It's not her fault. You're blind if you can't see it for yourself.
And it's not her fault. Travis Kelce is almost 35 years old, which in NFL years, he's getting up there. And production was probably about to drop off anyways.
Yeah, it's fine. I like how cute they are together. I like how fun he, because every time I would see her with a different guy, he always just looked like dour. And not because of her.
Just
because,
in general?
Because she used to date like actors and other musicians, and they're always trying to look cool. Travis Kelce doesn't care about that. He's a dork. He's such a fun dork.
Yeah, and he can be kind of when they first started dating, people were digging up old tweets of his and not racist ones, just him sounding like dumb and meat-headed, block. Yeah. Like a stereotypical football player almost. But he said something that I thought was kind of profound and intuitive when somebody asked him about dating Taylor Swift and all the attention that comes with it. He was like, I have to go through that for the hour and a half or 2 hours that we go out to dinner or whatever the case might be. He was like, she deals with that 24/7. Like, how weak would I be
if I
couldn't handle it when she handles it the way that she does? I was like, wow, that came from Travis Kelce's brain.
There's a great clip of him. I think you probably saw it, where he's talking to his brother on their podcast, and his brother went to like a premiere, and he showed up in flip flops and shorts.
Yeah,
and his brother's like, yeah, what's going on here? Why didn't she just dress up? Well, I came right from practice, and he said his wife's name. I don't remember her name. He goes, she forgot my jeans, and so I had to go with what. And he goes, Travis Kelce goes, did she forget your jeans or did you forget your jeans? And his brother was literally just like, oh yeah.
Oh.
Like I could have put clothes in something called a knapsack, and I could have put it in my car. There are showering facilities at the place I work.
That was a nice spot.
I have a whole locker.
Calvin, producer Calvin, sent us a message here, says, my mom only used to watch the Packers. She watches every televised Chiefs game now.
Because of Taylor Swift.
Your mom loves Taylor Swift. I love that
that's
mom
great.
Does.
I do too.
And she makes good cookies.
She does.
She doesn't. It's weird. She has like weird like internet like of Taylor Swift. She doesn't like listen to Taylor Swift's music, but she loves watching videos of her on Facebook.
That's called an obsession, buddy.
Very confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, she'll listen to the ones on the radio, but she's not really a big music person. But she, I guess, likes the personality of Taylor Swift.
So is it at the point now where, like, if she's calling out throughout the house for one of her kids, she slips a Taylor in there as well? Unless one of your siblings' names is actually Taylor?
No, it's not. But I think it actually stems from she has a bit of a crush on Travis Kelce, because she watches the Kelce Brothers podcast every week now since Taylor Swift started dating Travis. She claims it's because she wants to get the scoop on all the Taylor news, but they talk about it for like less than 2 minutes in an hour and 40-minute episode.
That's pretty adorable.
An hour and 40 minutes? Oh, that's hard pass. Yeah.
That is a lot.
Edit that stuff down, boys. Edit that stuff as we're going into our hour and 40th minute as we speak right now.
I want to mention one other thing about the Chiefs and Raiders game, because there was some controversy over this. Jack Jones with the Raiders scored the winning touchdown and then ran to give it to a kid, and he looked like he was going to give it to the kid, and then he ran away with it.
He pulled it back, and ran away.
And a lot of people are like, "Well, you're a jerk. Yeah. Why would you do that?" According to Jones, he took the ball away because of an adult who tried to take the ball away from the kid he was going to give it to.
Yeah.
People
which
are
the worst. Isn't that terrible? Who does that?
Jane, there is so much video of people. This happens a lot of baseball games. Because what will happen is not so much home runs, but like they'll be just doing some basic catching just to keep themselves warm between innings. And then they'll throw the ball into the fans. To the fans. Yeah. There are so many video clips of adults either pushing, scooping, ripping the ball right out of their hand and being like, it's mine. Like,
and then I want to know what story they go home and tell their friends about how I ripped this out of a 7-year-old's hands. Aren't I the man?
Oh, they're high-fiving all day long. They look at that kid as a loser, probably. Let's face it. That kid is a loser.
There was an incident earlier this year in the NFL. Tariq Hill, the Dolphins wide receiver, he scored a touchdown, and he went to throw it up to his mom in the stands. He went to throw the ball to his mom in the stands. And this jerk steps in front of his mom and grabs the ball. And Tyreek Hill, he points, you can see him point up, and he's like, no. He's like, give the ball to
her.
And people in the crowd knew that was Tariq Hill's mom. They're all going, no, man, give the ball to her. And the guy turned around, and he gave the ball to her. But then, like, 2 weeks later, I saw a video on Twitter where Tariq Hill went out of his way to find this guy and give him an autographed football. And I was like, why are we rewarding that? Even if that wasn't his mom, why are you ripping the ball out of the hands of an elderly woman at an NFL game?
That's a really good point. Well, why would you reward that?
That just speaks to how much better Tariq is than we are.
Sure, yeah.
Well, let's just all be better than that, can we, folks?
Exactly.
Let's just be like Taylor Swift.
Be like Taylor. She would give everyone a ball. She wouldn't take...
She could afford it.
She wouldn't take
I ask myself every
balls.
Day, what would Taylor do?
Exactly. Yep. There
WWTD.
You go.
Through life. Yep. WWTD, Taylor's version.
Nice. All right, stay close when we return. There's a new thing in downtown Milwaukee that you're going to want to check out. You've got about a week to do it. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnier in for Kristen Bry. I am joined in studio by Greg Bach and Rami Makhlouf, and Calvin is on the board. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Rami, you live in Milwaukee, don't you?
I do, yes, Bayview.
Have you seen the Milwaukee Art Museum recently unveiled? They have a whole new lighting system for the Brise Soleil,
mm-hmm.
which are the wings of the Calatrava.
I didn't know it had a fancy French name.
It had?
I always just called it the bird.
The bird?
By the museum. Yeah.
I think probably 9 out of 10 Milwaukeeans would call it that.
But the wings are going to be lit up in a vibrant spectrum of color for all to see every night until New Year's. And then after the New Year, they will light it up every Thursday night through spring. So I think they're kind of taking their clue from the Hone Bridge mm-hmm. and light the Hone. Can you see that from where you live?
I can't see the Hone Bridge from where I live, but I drive over it almost every day because I live right by the entrance to the bridge there.
That's got to be... I have never seen it in person. All lit up like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just
beautiful. It's beautiful.
I don't go out at night, apparently, ever.
And I haven't seen the Big Bird by the art museum in person yet, but I did see pictures of it. We have a couple of really good photographers, and I wish I could give them name by credit, who just have great Twitter timelines of these drone shots of Milwaukee. I think one of them is Nate Vomhoff. If I've got that right, I don't
know. Sounds like you just made up those
words.
There's
two or three different Milwaukee photographers who are just doing amazing work in showing off this city and the skyline. And I saw the shot of that, and
it looks really cool.
It looks really, really cool.
It really does. So if you have the opportunity just to take a drive by the Brise Soleil at the Milwaukee Art Museum. It's going to be lit up through New Year's and then every Thursday through spring.
Was I right about Nate?
Nate Vomahoff.
Got it.
Yep. Wow.
Nate, yeah, all one word. It's Nate and then Vomhoff. And just the stills of, especially the Calatrava, holy cow.
It's amazing. He does some really good work.
He's a full-time pharmacist, and this is his side. I do nothing with my life. Oh, my God.
Don't you hate that? That's one of the worst things about social media,
Wait,
right?
He's not just a photographer? He's that good at it? That's not his gig?
And that's his hobby.
And I'll bet you the photography far outweighs his pharmacy paycheck, too. What do you do? I'm a rocket scientist, but I also like to do decoupage on the side.
It works for him.
Yeah. Hey, it looks beautiful. It looks beautiful.
We'll put his name in the show notes as well if you want to follow him on Twitter and check out some of his incredible photography.
Yeah.
And the other thing that is happening, you can get in free at the Milwaukee County Zoo all week long. Free daytime admission. They do have a nighttime light show.
Ooh.
So this is not part of that. But you can get in during the day.
Zoom. Can I hide and stay for the light show?
I think not.
Okay.
If you hide long enough, you just work there.
It started yesterday. It runs until the 30th. You will have to pay for parking and regular admission for Zoo Wild Nights, which is the night show.
I would much rather call it Zoo After Dark.
They've done Zoo After Dark. Have you been back to our zoo?
I have not. I've never been to the Milwaukee County.
Oh, it's so
never.
Much fun.
In all my years of living here.
You really should go.
Yeah. I'll check it out.
It's tremendous.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful zoo. The people who work there love working there. It's just a really fun time. You have nieces or nephews?
I do. They're a little older now, though. Okay. Like, my nephew's in college. My niece is 15.
Never mind.
Maybe aged out a little bit to the zoo experience.
Yeah, a little old for that.
Steal a child.
But I'm a big kid. I'm still a child. I might go check it out.
There you go.
Especially if it's free.
You make a really good point about, because I've worked with people at the zoo for many, many, many years, and a lot of them have been there 25, 30 years, because they just love it so much.
Yep.
They really do. They love their mission. They love their coworkers. They love the animals. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, it's a really, really fun time. All different varieties. I mean, like, you got your basic zoo animals. Then you have like a farm area where they've got barnyards and like you can
really.
Oh yeah, it's so fun.
I did not know that.
It really envelops the whole Wisconsin vibe of like, what are the animals you will find in Wisconsin on a farm? And they have them all there: goats, cows, chickens, all sorts of stuff. You can feed them. You can watch shows where they like talk about them. You can buy a pickle in a bag. I mean, it's
a
just,
pickle in a bag.
Thank you.
That's sold.
There it is.
Nah, I wasn't sold until you said
there
pickle in a bag.
Pickle in a bag. So
I pulled him right in.
There you go.
There we go. You're welcome. That's Wisconsin in a nutshell,
You're welcome.
But take advantage of it. It is running today through the 30th. At the wonderful Milwaukee County Zoo, they have a new elephant habitat that they just built a couple of years ago. So it really is an ongoing upgrade.
It's a work in progress.
It is a work in progress.
It's beautiful then. I can imagine what it looks like now. I haven't been there in many years because my niece and nephew have grown up and, you know, they're...
Now we can take Frankie Lou.
We can take Frankie Lou.
We can take Kristen's baby, Frankie Lou. We'll have to wait until she can focus.
And nothing wrong with doing kid stuff without kids.
I totally agree with that. If you like hands-on science stuff and you're fun and a kid at heart, Discovery World.
I was just going to say, I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, I lived in Sacramento for a little over a year, and they have something there called the Museum of Science and Curiosity.
Ooh.
And so me and my girlfriend, we were just trying to like see the city. So every weekend we'd have like just kind of a date thing where we'd go out and try and explore, discover something new about the city. And we were like, we both like science and we're both curious. Let's go check it out. And we got there. And my girlfriend was buying the tickets, and I turned around and looked into like the first display that you walked through and quickly realized that this was definitely designed and made for children. Like, this museum was not for adults. Then I turned back around, and it was made clear to me that this was not for adults when he was like, the guy selling my girlfriend the tickets, he looked down over the counter. Like, he was looking for a child, and he was like, so just the two of you? He was so confused. And we were like, yep, and we just went ahead and went through with it. We got the tickets and just went through, and we were just big kids for a couple hours going through the Museum of Science and Curiosity.
Love it.
Another great museum in Sacramento is the Railroad Museum.
Oh, I haven't been.
Oh, it was spectacular. It was if you're into that, and, you know, there are people who are still way into trains.
Yeah.
And you haven't lived, if you're a train fanatic and you haven't been to the to the Train Museum in Sacramento.
I'm disappointed I missed it.
Well, now you're just going to have to go back just to do that.
Nah.
Probably not.
To go ahead and take your word for that.
Robbie, it's been so great having you
this
come
was
out.
Fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank
appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned. We have the news coming up next, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba program. Thank you for listening and texting and calling. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.